Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Thank you, Jesus. God's on the move. God is on the move. Take a seat. God, He just wants to be glorified. And His plans and purposes in the earth and for His church are all that they bring Him glory. That all the glory will go to Him. Yes. And, you know, the song was talking about every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. That He is Lord. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that He is Lord. That day is coming. Amen. And He wants people to come into that love relationship with Him where they believe that He died on the cross for them, that they confess that He is Lord of all and Lord of their lives and are saved. That's the desire of His heart for every man. But there comes a day, there's coming a day when even if people don't believe or refuse to believe, that they will still bow the knee and confess that He is Lord. Because when He appears, that will be mankind's response. But we want to believe, don't we? And we want to encourage others to believe. Amen? That's His heart for people. And I just want to carry on really from where Pastor Colin and Pastor Clive have been the last couple of weeks. Pastor Clive, you know, we came back from the holiday and he was talking about that where we're going as a church and a people, that it's all about Jesus. It always has been, but it's going to continue to be even more so all about Jesus. It's all about Him and Him being glorified and worshipped. We'll do what we will do, and that's our, you know, us outworking that worship, because it looks like something, doesn't it? But that we're going to be challenged. There's a faith challenge for each one of us ahead. Okay, our faith will be stretched. And I'm going to talk about that a bit this morning. And then Pastor Colin was speaking about the bridegroom, Jesus being our bridegroom and us the bride and loving our bridegroom. And the two go hand in hand, obviously, faith working through love. We can't have great faith without great love in our hearts from Him and for Him and for others. And that love that just last week's word was amazing. I just encourage you to listen to last week. If you haven't heard, it's one of the best words I've ever heard Pastor Colin bring. Yes. Yes. Just yes. Bridal love. So powerful. Yes. Yet so simple. The Bible says He's the bridegroom and the church is bride. Yes. And we're being made ready. Amen? Yes. And I guess I've been on a journey myself, and I know many of you are, what God is doing, outworking these words in our lives, to what that is actually going to look like. That love, that bridal love, that commitment to Him, the faith, where is that going to take us? And two sort of questions have been, you know, going through, being put to me. And to us, I believe, is do you love me? Do you love Him? And will you follow Him? And we're going to look at those words. And, you know, if what we're talking about as a church is revival for a generation, okay, turning the tide of a godless society.
That's right.
Yeah. God, you need to do a work in me for that to happen. Yes. What does that look like? What does that cost? To lay down our lives for Jesus, that He will be glorified in this nation. Revival for a generation. The godless society turned. There's a deeper place in God that you and I need to be in. A deeper love, a deeper trust of being led by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, what does that look like? A deeper love and a deeper trust to go and live what he's asking of us, to see a nation changed, a nation steeped in sin and pain and hopelessness. What does that mean for us? And I guess that's where God has us. The love that he needs is a mature love. It's a love that knows it's loved. We have to be secure that we are loved by God.
Yes.
Secure enough to love others, whatever that looks like, wherever he's going to lead us. And it's a love that forgives. It's a love that's not easily offended. And it's a love that it goes the extra mile. And there's a guy called Hudson Taylor, and there's a quote from him. He said, I used to ask God to help me. And then I asked if I might help him.
Yep.
And it's great to build ourselves up in God. I have to do it every day. Well, I have to. I love to. It's the thing I like doing most, but I can't spend all day every day doing it. Building ourselves up in God through the Word, reading the Word and studying and reading and understand him, and others that have gone before me that have seen amazing fruit in their lives in this nation. And then it's like, okay, God, what am I doing for you today? Not bless me, God. And Clive said something interesting a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking, you know, he was talking about where the eldership, they'd written out a whole letter, a whole plan and everything of what the future might look like, and they poured the mustard seeds over it. Did you remember that? Poured the mustard seeds over, and they stood there. He said it was like the presence of God was there, and it was a tangible presence of God, and it wasn't. He said it wasn't a bless me Jesus moment. This was the weight of God. God is speaking. And I believe we're going to have more of those moments. We need more of those moments in our lives where this isn't about bless me, Jesus. We need to know we're blessed. We need to stand in the fact that we're blessed and live and walk in the fact that we are blessed, because the Word says we are, and we believe what the Word says. It's not based on feelings. This is God walking in the place. God stepping into your front room or into your car, into your neighbour's house where you are. The presence of God is there, and there's a weight of God there, and there's an awe of God and a responsibility, because God is on the move.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's turn to John chapter 21. And I'm going to talk about Peter for a few minutes. And Peter was a disciple that Jesus chose, and Peter loved Jesus, okay? He was full of passion for Jesus. He believed in him. He was impulsive. He was full of, like, get up and go, and I'll never deny you, and I'll love you, and I'll do this, and I'll do that, and all the rest. And God gave him this amazing revelation of who Jesus was, because when Jesus asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He had revelation from God of who Jesus was. And Jesus said that to him. You've had revelation from God. And on this revelation that you have, Peter, I will build my church. Okay, so he knew what was in Peter. And he knew how he was going to lead Peter into seeing the fulfillment of that word, that the church was going to be built. Start being built on this revelation that Peter had given, okay? So Peter was enthusiastic. But who knows, you can't build on enthusiasm.
Come on.
You can't build something that's going to last on enthusiasm for Jesus. it's not going to stand. We need it, but it's not the bedrock. He was impulsive for Jesus. He'd had this amazing revelation. And yet we know that when Jesus, the night that he was crucified, when he was being whipped and beaten and questioned, this great love of Peter's, it failed him. Because when he was questioned, "Are you with this Jesus?" he said, "No, I don't know him. I don't know this man." 3 times he was asked separately, "You are with Jesus?" "No, I don't know this man." And then the third time he denied him, he said, "I curse myself." He brought a curse on himself. "I don't know this man." But Jesus told him beforehand he would do it. He said, "Before the cock crows, the third time, you'll have denied me." And Peter was like, no, "I'll never deny you, Jesus." And we're like that, aren't we? "No, Jesus, we'll never deny you. You mean everything to us. You're my life." But would we? If we're really faced with that kind of fear, that kind of death even, what would we do? What would our response be? We don't know. We hope that it would be the right one. But, you know, the amazing heart of Jesus is he knew. He knew Peter. He knew he loved him, but he knew it wasn't enough. So he was going to have to do something so that his word that he spoke over Peter would stay. It would work. Okay? And we turn to John 21. This is Jesus has been crucified, he's risen from the dead, and he's appeared to his disciples a number of times, okay? He's come back, risen from the dead, he's in bodily form, he's been in front of them. And where should we start? The disciples were out fishing in Galilee. Peter had said, "Let's go fishing." So they were. So in verse 4, it was in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize it was him. And Jesus shouted out to them, "Hey guys, lads, children, have you any food?" And they answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Oh, sorry, they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment and plunged into the sea. And then the other guys followed him with the boat. He left them all with the fish. His great catch of fish. He just jumped in because his heart response to Jesus was, I want to get to him. I love him. I want to see him. And as soon as they come to land, Jesus made a fire and he said, let's have breakfast together. So verse 15, when they'd eaten breakfast, Jesus turned to Peter. He said, "Peter, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs then." He said to him again, a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, Peter, do you love me?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he'd asked him a third time. Because it's every time Jesus asked him, he was asking Peter if he would love him with God's love in the deepest way, with God's love. And the only way Peter could respond was with human love. "Yeah, Lord, you know I love you. You know I love you." As much as he could humanly, he loved. Okay? And Jesus is asking again, "Peter, Do you love me? Do you really love me? Do you love me even as much as you just say that you love me? And it says Peter was grieved. And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. And this he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said, follow me. He's demanding something greater of Peter that Peter knows in his own self he can't do. He loves Jesus as much as he humanly can, as much as possible. But he knew he'd blown it. But the heart of Jesus is, it's okay, Peter. I want you to do this job for me. I want you to feed my sheep. That's his people. I want you to feed my lambs. I want you to look after my people. So he's going to look after the church. He's going to lead it. He's going to take care of the people. That's the concern of Jesus. And he knew what he would need to be able to do it. He would need a love greater than he had. And being in leadership, I know. I can't love with human love. I can't do what God has asked me to do, my own strength and my own love, because it's not enough. It's not enough, yeah? So he asks this of him, I want you to love my people. And he knew it was going to cost Peter. But it's interesting because then he said, he also explained to him what was going to happen at the end of his life, how he was going to be led away to be killed. And it says, but this was to glorify God. It's amazing what glorifies God to us. It'd just be awful. It's like, God, is this really you? And he's like, yes, it's going to glorify me. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And you know, in the nations, in this time that we're in, for many, many people in many, many nations now, to confess Jesus Lord is a death sentence for them. Yes. And that's increasing. Yes. That's the cost. Yes. That's the call of a Christian. Is to walk with Jesus, to follow Jesus, obey Jesus, even unto death sometimes. But it says it glorifies God. It's all about him. It's all about him. That's what it means when we say it's all about Jesus, is that we're in a process of death. And it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable, isn't it? It's not too heavy a word, is it? Is it?
Yeah.
Revival for generation. It's all about Jesus. So, it's interesting as they carry on their conversation. Peter turned around and saw John. And John and Jesus had this, you know, this special relationship, this special friendship, and Peter knew it. And he said to him, what about him? What's going to happen with him? In verse 22, Jesus said to him, if I will that he remains till I come, in other words, if he stays alive and doesn't die for me, what is that to you? You follow me. And, you know, it's very interesting that we cannot compare our walk to anybody else's. We cannot look at someone else and what's going on in their lives or their circumstances and compare. We can't desire another walk that someone else has got. We have to follow Jesus where he is leading us, and we have to surrender to that walk. It's a walk of love. The ultimate love, the ultimate and deepest love, is to follow him. And you know, with Peter, when he called Peter, he started with follow me. When he first called him, you know, when he was out fishing and he called him first, come follow me. And the last things he said to Peter, come follow me. But this time Peter knew what it would be laid ahead of him. And that would need a deeper response. Okay? And that's what God is looking for in these days from his people. Yeah. Do we trust him? Yeah. Do we trust that his leading is really him when it's not easy? When I was at faith camp, God met with me. And I'd been in a process of saying, Lord, burn in me yourself, burn in me, Holy Spirit, that I burn with what's on your heart, Lord. Yes. There was a night where God met with me at faith camp, and now I was on the floor, and there was like a weight of God on me that I couldn't get up. And when I went back to the van that night, God spoke to me, and then I went to sleep and I had a dream. And the dream really shocked me. And I was like, God, is that you? And since then I've been on a journey, a process of processing this dream, if you like, and I've spoken to different people and I've spoken to Pastor Colin and I've submitted, because I'm like, is this God? Or am I just away with the fairies? We have to submit the things that God's saying to us, to somebody. When God speaks something that comes from left field in one sense, because we want to know that it's God. But sometimes he says things, and God, is this you? Is this really you? And he's like, yeah, it's me. I want you to follow me. So that process of like getting into God, studying, praying, taking myself to places where I can learn more about what it is he's putting in front of me. We get more into God, get more in understanding, more revelation of what he's saying. I can't impulsively say, this is what God's saying. This is like, okay, God, I wasn't expecting this. And God is going to be speaking to different ones of you. I know he already is. And bringing, he wants new things. He's got new people, different people he wants us to reach. Different people groups he wants us to take the gospel to. There are new things that God has for us to do. They're exciting and they're challenging. And it's interesting because I had a conversation with my mum the other day. And we were just talking about this and the fact that we are in a challenging church. Did I say that the right way? I guess it depends on where you look at it. We challenge people. And it can be challenging. And my mum said, if we weren't here, we'd be in a church sitting in pews saying how nice the vicar was. And I thought, I know that doesn't happen. The pews. God is always on the move. And Jesus is always challenging us to follow him where he's going. And the bride in the earth at this time is being prepared in more detail, being made even more ready. Every last wrinkle and spot and blemish removed. And that surrender to Jesus. Okay. Whatever it takes. But will we? pray that. But we can start with, like Peter, acknowledging actually, I do love you, but it's not enough. And it's interesting with Peter because what happens is Jesus tells them to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And when the Holy Spirit came and filled the disciples as they're waiting and praying, the Holy Spirit comes and fills them. Power's released. The power of God is released. We cannot do this without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in us, God's love in us, by the Holy Spirit, God's love in us by the Holy Spirit, enabled Peter to stand up in front of 3,000 people, or in front of thousands of people, preach the gospel with no fear, and then 3,000 people get saved. But it's not just the preaching, is it? It's that day in, day out feeding sheep, feeding people, loving, giving, serving, going where Jesus was demanding them to go as disciples. And ultimately, it cost him his life. And it's interesting that with Peter, you know, when God spoke to him, gave him the revelation, you know, the dream with the sheep, with all the different, I think it was all different animals on. And to Peter as a Jew, God loved the Jewish people. Jesus was Jewish. He was the Jewish Messiah. And then God gave him a dream that the gospel was to go to the Gentiles. Totally left field for a Jew. This, the God of Israel, the Hebrew God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, totally left field, gives him a vision. Take the gospel to the Gentiles. And he knew it was God. He said, yes, Lord. Totally left field. God, is that you? Yes, it's me. Will you do it? And God wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to his bride in these days and say, I want you to go here for me. It's interesting, isn't it? I've heard this verse a few times in the last few weeks, Proverbs 16. Verse 4 says, man makes plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Even plans that we believe he's given us. Sometimes they die. And that's hard. I've been there. It's so hard. You feel like a failure. What he's given you, what he spoke, has gone a different way, or it's died. He's asked for it to die. But that's because his ways are different to our ways. His outworking of something he puts in our heart will look different to how we think it's going to. The steps there are different. And they're more costly than we would imagine ourselves. Of course. So we have plans in our hearts, which is great because we have vision, we have... It gives us enthusiasm and excitement. It's like, and then sometimes God says, I want you to go this way for a while. Or I want you to stop that. I want you to do this. I want you to go there. And are we prepared to follow him when it doesn't look like we think it's going to look? Yeah. Are we prepared to hear him and say, yes, Lord, I love you. I trust you. It's a deeper love, a deeper surrender, and a deeper trust that will we follow Jesus where he is leading? Okay? Let's have a look at Psalm 23. I'm not going to speak for much longer. I love this psalm. It's just one of those psalms. A lot of the word is like never ending, is it? It's like you just go back to it and go back to it, and God will just keep showing you his heart. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Just say, the Lord is my shepherd. Okay. He's leading you. If he's your Lord, then he's your shepherd. And Jesus called himself the great shepherd. It's not just an Old Testament thing, how David saw him. Jesus called himself the great shepherd of the sheep. And it says, I shall not want. So all our wants are met in Jesus.
Amen.
Okay? If your heart is after something, you take it to him. If it's not of him, it'll fall away. Okay? We shall not want because he satisfies. He is everything. And if he knows we have a need, then he meets it. Amen? We have to trust him. We have to trust his timing. We have to trust his plans and purposes. It says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. So the shepherd, Jesus the shepherd, leads his sheep to green pastures. His desire is to lead us into good things. Amen? His desire is to lead us to green pastures. That's where sheep can feed and they can just relax. He leads me beside still waters. This is Jesus leading his people. Beside still waters, he restores my soul. Okay? He leads me in paths of righteousness. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So it's all for his sake. It's all for his glory. It's all for him. Okay? So he blesses us on this journey. We're all on a journey. Okay? Jesus is leading. He knows where to lead us that will bless us. But ultimately, he's leading us on his plan and purpose. Okay, so if you've ever watched, like a shepherd, Jesus didn't carry the sheep. Okay, the shepherd doesn't carry the sheep. He leads them. He's walking ahead of them. Okay, and that's, if you're a leader here today, that's what you do. You lead the people. Don't carry them. You lead them. And they follow. Sheep follow the shepherd. They know his voice. They trust him. They don't know where they're going. They just know that along the way, they're going to be led by streams. They're going to be in green fields where they can eat. And they're going to be blessed. Okay, but they don't know where they're going, only the shepherd knows. And it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So there are valleys that are dark. There are shadows. There are hard times in life. And there are hard times being a Christian that Jesus leads us through. He doesn't lead us into them to stay there, okay? And that's why I love this psalm, because you just get the, okay, there's an end to this. He leads us through those things. And I love, Churchill, when, he had that famous quote, if you're going through hell, keep going. And I love that because that guy, he had such faith and such hope of victory that he could say that. If you're going through hell, and we were as a nation, you keep going, because it's not going to end there. It's not going to stop there. Jesus doesn't lead us into dark times. He leads us through them and out the other side into victory. And that's what he was doing with Peter. Peter, can you imagine having denied Jesus, how he would have felt? Just separated from Jesus by denying him, totally failed, totally just awful on the inside. But Jesus wasn't going to leave him there. It was a tough place. He'd walked, he'd recognized the failure of his own heart. That's what we go through tough times for when we see. We recognize our own failings. But it's okay. Jesus knew they were there anyway. We have to see them ourselves and say, okay, I'm going to pick up and get through this. This isn't the end. I can see I've made mistakes. I've blown it. Jesus, forgive me. And he takes us through the tough time and out the other side into victory. Amen?
Amen.
I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He's a comfort through those tough times, okay? And his staff is still there, guiding. He's not going to pick the sheep up. He's still guiding. He's still keeping him there with his stick, but he's still walking. And it's our choice to keep going, to keep going. So this doesn't stop here. There's victory. There's victory at the end of this. Amen? But do we trust him where he's leading us? Do we trust him is going to come out in victory and glory for his sake? Not mine necessarily, but for his sake. And there's a call of a deeper love and a deeper trust and a surrender to his will, to his plan and purpose for our life. Shall we stand? Guys, and I want us to sing that song again. In his name. And I want us to... to respond to the Lord. You know, it's amazing what Jesus did with Peter. Because we're talking about a people being revived by the Holy Spirit to do the works, to do what Jesus is asking of us. Okay? And it's interesting that what he did with Peter was he restored relationship. He affirmed Peter. Peter, I know you blew it, but I loved you. I love you, mate. I've still called you. I've still chosen you. I'm still going to build my church on you and the revelation that you have of me and this love you have. So restored relationship with him. And it may be today you need that relationship with him restored. You need that love relationship with him restored by Jesus. The affirmation from him. Okay, that even though you may have blown it, you're still his, you're still chosen.
That's right.
He still wants to use you. You still have a call on your life. It doesn't change. That relationship deepened with him, restores it. He renews it. And he brings new things. He wants to bring new things into your life. A new challenge, if you like. A new people group to go and minister to, or something new for you. He's calling you to do. So he wants to revive you, restore relationship, and it requires a response from you, from each one of us, of yes, Lord, I surrender to you, to your call on my life that's greater than I have acknowledged so far, but I'm up for it. It's yes, Lord. It's yes, Lord. But Holy Spirit, you've got to do this. Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Burn in me your heart, your love, your call, your plan, your purpose, so that whatever you speak to me, Lord, whatever you ask of me, Lord, in these days, I'm willing. I'll go. I'll do it. I'm willing to hear you speak something different. I'm willing to respond to you, Jesus. So we'll do that now in this song, okay? And it's the point of surrender, so you do that with yourself, with the Lord. You can kneel, stand, lay down, come down the front, whatever. But it's your heart response. And then I believe just... because the Holy Spirit will come either now or when you're on your own with him in the next days, weeks and months, and he will impress himself on you, a weight of God, a call of God that is greater than you've known before, because it demands more, will come upon you, demand your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.